It's time for another edition of Dome and Domer, the only podcast for Notre Dame fans by Notre Dame fans. If you're looking for cogent analysis and unbiased opinions backed by careful reporting, you've come to the wrong place. For the next 20 minutes or so, you'll get a fan's perspective on the Fighting Irish without all the normal spin from the so-called professional analysts. It's Dome and Domer. Now, here are your hosts, Mike Brammer and Ed Jordanic.
Hello, Irish fans, and welcome to another edition of Dome and Domer. My name's Mike Brammer. Joining me, a special guest tonight, as Ed and Mike couldn't make it, Chris Travers, who is a 1990 grad, along with me, Big Red Dylan Hall Dylanite. And you're coming to us from the Dominican Republic, where you are heading the Play Like a Champion Foundation, isn't that right?
That is right, Mike. I'm gonna do my best to fill in for Smooth Eddie.
Hey, you got big shoes to fill, pal. Uh-huh. So let's try and not screw this up.
Nope.
Hey, real quick, let me just share this because I think this would be kind of interesting. I promised myself this year that I was gonna make an effort to do a podcast once a week. Sure enough, I'm in Europe right now, and Ed and Mike just couldn't make it. I mean, there's just no way to do it because of the time differences. And I felt bad because I had a guy last year. I wanted to quit doing Dome and Domer, believe it or not, just because it was a huge time commitment. Ed and I were kind of struggling. We only did four shows, I think, four or five. Anyways, I got an email from a guy overseas who was serving in Iraq. And he's like, hey, man, this is the only thing I can do to keep up. Can you guys keep it up?
I hear that. You know, I actually was upset with you guys as well. You know, I miss Easy Ed. And, you know, I heard a few shows with, I think it's Mike Coffey, if I'm not mistaken. And
that's right.
But no, Easy Ed was, and you were great to listen to. And I tried to get to all the podcasts, and you guys were certainly
right.
No strangers.
No, I know, and I appreciate that. And when I reached out to you, I'm like, you know what? I bet you Travers could do this. I'm gonna call him out.
Well, have at it.
So this is awesome. Yeah, thanks for doing this. Hey, I do want to kind of start the show off by touching on a topic that I think would be interesting to get your feedback on. I myself am a huge Brian Kelly fan, always have been, and probably will be until I get to the point where I'm like, oh my God, this guy's got to go. I'm not in that camp right now today. I think that some of the criticisms he's been taking this year have been over the top, I think. And one specific example would be an article that came out by CBS Sports just recently where they kind of called him the absent-minded professor. Now, granted, those were Brian Kelly's own words, but I felt like they really twisted the article and the intent of the point Brian Kelly was trying to make. Because I think the point he was trying to make is, hey, I'm willing to admit I was attached to the team last year, and I was like an absent-minded professor. I just wasn't into it like I should have been. And instead, they tried to twist it as if he was making an excuse to try and throw all the blame somewhere else other than himself. And I thought it was ridiculous. And sure enough, you're going to get comments of people that kind of fall in that camp. But I'm curious, where do you sit right now with Brian Kelly and what you think he's headed into this season and what he needs to do in terms of wins that in your mind would be, okay, that's acceptable?
Well, I mean, there's a few questions that are built into your commentary right there. Number one, I think that it's a very vulnerable place for a coach to be, and I say that admirably when I use the word vulnerable. When a coach says, you know what, I make mistakes too, because that can sometimes open the door for a lot of problems later, and you might run the risk of losing your team and so on and so forth. Last year, I believe that Brian Kelly's efforts was a mulligan. I think he deserved a mulligan. I think that the expectations, by and large, from an Irish perspective, you know, with a fan that has some perspective to it, might just say, you know, we don't really have the talent and the infrastructure at the university, the way that things currently stand, to be able to say that we deserve to be in the playoffs and right alongside with Clemson and Ohio State and Alabama and so on and so forth, because we don't right now. We're working to get there. But that said, 4-8 is, as any fan would know, and I think any fan, at just the middle of the pack in the Big Ten. If a coach strings together a few 4-8 seasons, then they know that it's time for them to move on. And I think Brian Kelly knows that last year was a mulligan. I think everyone, you know, should recognize that. Now, also,
you know,
go ahead, Mike.
The strange thing, Chris, I was just going to point this out. I think the strange thing is if you look at last year, I mean, literally every single game they probably could have won and should have won, except for, you know, maybe you can make an argument for Michigan State, but I felt like they gave that game away. And then USC was the only other game that, all right, we were out of it by the fourth quarter. But clearly, I mean, we were not out of it in any of those games, and that season could have been totally different than what it was at 4-8. But like you say, I mean, I totally agree with you. I think Brian Kelly's due for a mulligan. That was his mulligan, and I think you chalk it up for that.
Yep, and also, you know, when you mentioned, again, I'm hoping that we're going to shift towards this year, because I think there's a lot of good positive things to talk about this year, and I genuinely say that as someone that felt that last year's team, after two games into the year, the close loss to Texas, followed up by a arguably close win against Nevada, I did not feel that Notre Dame was going to qualify for a bowl. I felt that it was time for Brian Van Gorder to move on in the offseason previous to the season for various reasons, which we don't necessarily need to get into right now. But I think Brian Kelly and Notre Dame football was kind of glued together at the hinges. And they didn't. You could see the things that they would fell apart a little bit in the fourth quarter. It was just a little drip, drip, drip. Paul Longo and we would, you know, and the strength and conditioning guys, it would come out later, was not physically fit to be able to handle it. Brian Kelly, the absent professor, as you mentioned in the earlier on, with not being there, and he kind of lost touch with the team. He didn't lose the team, but he lost touch with what the team's needs were. Brian, again, yeah. So there was a lot of things that needed an overhaul. Now, shifting forward into this year, I believe that those things did get overhauled. And the program, the jolt that was necessary into the program, I think we started to see that. And I think that there's a lot of people to thank. People like Bob Elliott, you know, may he rest in peace. Mike Elston did a wonderful job last year. And I think the steadying forces of the coaches that did stay on and the people, and right on up to the athletic director, were critical in order to keep things together. Because if you were to follow and to take it into recruiting, Notre Dame was in bad shape last November and December, and they put together a late little rush with some guys that we're going to actually see in a couple of days from now that are going to be playing as freshmen that were recruited within that last month. So they did a nice job of kind of, saving a par with, yep. You know, a terrible, they were in a deep rough, if you will, and they somehow pulled out a par. They didn't get a birdie, but nor should you expect one after 4-8. Okay, but I think that you're seeing the benefits of that now, which I hope we're going to start talking about, like I said, along the coaching staff and what it is that the new look offense, and more importantly, what I believe to be the new look defense.
Yeah, exactly. Well, let's touch on that because I think it's a perfect segue. I'm probably in agreement with you. There's a lot of positives that come out of a coaching change, and certainly you got new blood that's breathing life into these guys. All of a sudden, the guys that at the end of last year were scratching their heads, you know, questioning, all right, what am I doing here? That all gets put aside, and you've got new blood in there that's now, you know, reinvigorated the program, as you said, and that showed in the recruiting just at the tail end there. Some of the things that I think will be real interesting to see, and I hope to see what I think I'm going to see. I think a lot of people were critical of Brian Van Gorder because he oftentimes he referred to himself or was labeled as a scheme guy as opposed to a fundamental guy. So I think you're going to see the opposite of that this year. You're going to see guys with good fundamentals and, you know, building repetition into the practice schedule that's all about that, which translates into the game time, guys that make tackles, that have the ability to do the fundamental things, to make tackles and make plays. Even if you don't have that upper echelon elite talent, like you mentioned, that Ohio State and Alabama and Clemson have, I think that was a great point you made, and I think the difference between the two is maybe not as great as we think if you've got that coaching that can make up that difference. I've always felt that Notre Dame needed to be somewhere around 10th in the country in terms of recruiting, because coaching can make up that difference. And Brian Kelly has done pretty good year to year in that realm. Now we just need to see that translate into game day on Saturday with guys that are well coached and step up and make the plays.
I kind of look at the I'm very similar to what it is that you just said there regarding the coaching. Sure, it can definitely close the gap. There's no question about it. You do need some elite horses out there. They don't need to all be elite, okay? You don't need to be 1 through 85 along with Alabama and Ohio State and the other top perennial top programs. I just want to be able to say, let's beat Stanford. Can we beat Stanford? They're our academic equal. We certainly have a more tradition-rich program than Stanford. Yet under the Brian Kelly era and in the Brian Shaw era, we're 2-5 versus Stanford. Okay, and one of those wins was really, really iffy. And the other one took a fourth down, you know, in 12, whatever, fourth down and goal. So we have not been able to be terribly competitive with Stanford. They've got the edge. So as far as, but I want to stay with the defense, though, right now, because, you know, you brought that up, you know, very well. Yes, we need to be able to play fundamental defense. We need to be able to bring skilled position players to the ground. We need to be able to keep people in front of us. I would like to see Notre Dame get back to play the type of defense that they played under Bob Diaco. And if you want to get ambitious about it, I'd like to see him get back to playing the defense that they played under Barry Alvarez. And I think both of those are possible. I don't think they're going to be able to play defense the way that Alabama played against Kirby Smart for the reasons that are obvious, that we just don't have the talent that Alabama is going to get on a perennial basis. But we can put together enough athletes with enough fundamentals that are going to be able to keep us competitive in just about any game. And in the year that we get the luck of the Irish, we find ourselves back in the playoffs. And I think with this particular coordinator, it is possible. I'm not so sold on the offensive side of the ball yet. I'm going to wait and see there. I've been buying and accumulating stock with Mike Elko since last fall, before he was hired. I said, you know, when we all make our own little dream list of who we'd like to see be the head coach, the defensive coordinator, so on and so forth. Mike Elko was certainly in my top three because I knew Van Gorder was actually already gone by this time when I started to say, okay, just in case Hudson or Elston isn't hired as the full-time coordinator, who's it going to be? And said, I'd like to see Mike Elko be that person. Again, let me just make the last comment in saying that the offensive side of the ball, I'm in a wait-and-see mode for what plays we are calling on third and two. That third and one, you know, are we third and one and a half, third and three? They're going to run it, they're going to pass it. Because I keep hearing, oh, everybody wants to run the ball. We're going to run the ball. We're a running team. We're going to use three tight end sets and two backs. And let's see when the rubber hits the road. And we're playing Georgia. Granted, we got a game this weekend. But let's see when we're in the fourth quarter and it's a tight ball game. We're down three. We're up three. It's a one-possession ball game. And we're third and two on our own 40-yard line, or their 40-yard line. What are we going to run in that position? That's what I'm waiting for in the offense. But the defensive side of the ball, I'm not expecting much out of the secondary. I'm not expecting much out of the safeties. I'm not expecting that much out of the defensive line, although there's certainly been a lot of pushback when the coaches are asked about, hey, you know, so the defensive line, we got problems, we got gaps, we got guys that don't have much experience, we've guys playing out of position, we don't have much depth. There's a lot of pushback from the coaches. But when those types of questions are raised from the press to the coaches about the safeties, there's not a lot of pushback. And that should tell you something. So I'm not expecting much out of the, you know, like I said, the safeties. And I don't mean to pick on those guys, but I'm just saying we have a talent deficiency relative to the types of teams that we want to be able to compete against.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think that there's, you know, obviously I've always said that by the third game you pretty much know what you got and what you're dealing with.
Right.
And so I think especially this season we're going to know it. You got that huge game and game number two, which is going to be my South Bend visit game. I always go to one game a year, and it's got to be early because I can't stand the cold anymore.
One more than me, man, so I'm jealous.
Yeah, there you go. But anyway, I do think that, you know, it's – yeah, I think it's easy to sit here and say, oh, my God, the defensive line is going to be a big problem for us this year. And look, we all know that games are won at the line of scrimmage. If, in fact, that does become a Achilles heel for us, then you're going to have guys step up at the linebacker position because they're going to be the ones making the majority of the tackles. I think the thing that I've heard, at least, and I've got little ins and outs into the program and whispers, not much, but little bits. And what I am hearing is there is excitement, and there is some guys that are really stepping up. And what you like to hear is guys playing at their at or above the level that they are. So I think the excitement's there. I think Temple's going to be a good challenge for us. I mean, Temple doesn't have the team that they had last year. They've gone through some coaching changes, obviously.
But even with going athletes through that coaching change, though, Mike, they left an afterglow of the Matt Rhule era. So no question about it. You know, I'm not saying that Jeff Collins is going to pick up the torch and where Matt Rhule left it. But even just from the culture, from where it shifted before he got there, well, I'm talking about Matt Rhule now, from where it was before he got there to where it is now, there's certainly some remnants. So there's a Temple team that's going to come in on Saturday, and they're going to feel like they can win. You know, this is a team that was in not just in the game, they were leading two short years ago. They were leading, and it took us a get-out-of-jail-free card with Kizer to Will Fuller that snuck in there by about an inch and a half that pulled us out and kept the national championship season alive. So this team, this Temple team, is not the Temple team that we saw in 2013 that we just walked over. They're going to come in here, and if they're in the game in the fourth quarter, you know, if they're inside of, say, 10 points with the ball threatening in our territory, then the things are going to tighten up a little bit on our sideline.
Yeah, that's right. That's exactly right. Well, I think that, you know, I'll revert to one of my favorite quotes of all time from probably by far the best boxer I've ever watched, and Mike Tyson, who said, "Everybody's got a plan until you get punched in the face."
Yeah, so, I'd flatten Tyson just so you know.
Find that out.
Call him up. I'll flatten him. I'm just kidding. Go ahead. I didn't mean to interrupt your thought. Keep going.
So, in any event, the Notre Dame's going to have that moment where, okay, do we really believe in ourselves? Is this really what, you know, is the excitement real? Are we really different? And that's going to happen in the first half of Temple. And how they respond to that is, I think, going to dictate, you know, where that game goes. I do expect us to be...
Let me just say, I respectfully disagree. And I think that if Notre Dame is in that situation where they're questioning, hey, you know, what's going on? Here we go again, that kind of thing, against Temple... You know, I'm not talking about the first drive now. If you said the first half, if, you know, after the flow of the game gets established, if Notre Dame starts questioning, oh, here we go again, then we might be in for a long year. Now, I don't think that's going to happen. I really don't.
No, no.
And I also think, and what's worth noting, excuse me, one second, Mike. What's worth noting is that in the Brian Kelly era, the first game has actually been very indicative of how things would go for the remainder of the year, if you really think back. You know, 2010, we lost a close game to Michigan. All right, we wound up having, like, a decent year for a first-year coach. Had some recruiting momentum. 2011, the South Florida disaster. What happened? The year wound up being well below expectations. Again, another 8-5. But, you know, the wind had left our sails. 2012, we came out crisp. I can't remember if we shut out Navy, but that was the game when we were over in Ireland, okay, or whatever.
Yeah, it wasn't a shutout.
It was close. It was a blow. The game was over in the midway through the second quarter. 2013, yep, I believe, was Temple, if I'm not mistaken, and we kind of had a very lackadaisical win, a good win. Okay, we had an okay year. You know, that was the Tommy Rees year when Golson got, you know. 2014 is the only aberration there. That's the year that we wound up trouncing Michigan with 31-0 or 38-0 or whatever that was.
Right.
Okay, great first half of the year. And then, you know, again, the wind left our sails for the second half of the year. 2015, strong outing. 2016, again, Texas overtime. We lose on the road to a team that really wasn't much of anything other than just a name. So let's see what happens. This first game will tell us a lot. And I do fear, with what it is that you just said about Notre Dame starting to question herself and having to face any adversity or something like that in the first half, if that happens, then I'm going to get concerned, because that's been indicative of what it is in the past. Once more again, I repeat, I do not think that that's going to happen this time.
I'm with you. I mean, I think that these guys are for real. I think the coaching staff's for real. I think you're going to see it. The only point I was trying to make is that there is that moment when you get that first, you know, things don't go your way, right?
Right.
Every team faces it at some point in the first half. Something goes against you, and it's how do you respond to that? That's where you just got to roll up and stick to the game plan and stick to the fundamentals and just, you know, that attitude, I think, is what we want to see, where guys just rebound and react and don't get down on any kind of turnover or whatever it may be.
Yeah.
I feel good about it. I do think that offensively, you know, you mentioned that, and I do think there are some strengths there. One of the things that we haven't seen at Notre Dame in a long time are big physical wide receivers, and we have them this year. It's something that we haven't had for a long time at Notre Dame,
yep.
And we've got them. So, and plus, some of these young kids that are coming up.
They're not that fast, though. Okay, I just got to throw that in there.
Not blazing fast. But, you know, a lot of times the physicality of these wide receivers that are big can make the difference. With Wimbush start getting out of the pocket and scrambling and being able to throw to a big target, I mean, it makes a big deal.
It does.
So I think it's going to be real interesting to see how we move offensively. I think that might be the bigger question mark. You got Wimbush, who's been sitting there for 2 years. He's now in the lead command role. It's going to be big on his shoulders. He needs a good game. I think all the confidence in the world needs to be put on this kid as he gets ready to go into Georgia the following week. But, I mean, hey, you never know what we're going to face. These are first-time players on that side of the ball, and I think it's going to be real interesting. I do predict us winning. And I guess I'll segue into that. If you ask me, okay, Mike, what do you think this is going to be? I do think it's going to be a 42-17 win.
Okay.
Is what my prediction is. I think we're going to take care of business. I think it'll be a little iffy in the first quarter. I think about midway through the second quarter, we'll start to take over.
Okay. That's a lot of points. For a Temple team that I really don't know much about, other than I do know that they do have some skilled players returning. A couple of them are getting NFL looks. Yes, they left, you know, Rashad Thomas and Matakevich, I think, if I'm not pronouncing his name incorrectly. They've had some NFL players leave. They had a couple of linemen leave that I believe also were late draft picks. But, you know, their cupboard is emptier than it's been the last couple of years, and they're on the road, and there's been an enormous makeover within the program, much of which I believe with, and again, I'm buying stock and accumulating it in Mike Elko for a considerable period of time, based pretty nakedly off of what it is that I see from him in his interviews, what it is that I get from the players' interviews. You can clearly tell, you know, from the tone in their voice and the words that they choose, that he has been long overdue, just welcomed beyond being welcomed. And how Brian Kelly has derived a lot of his inspiration and his makeover from that. I think there's been a rejuvenation in Brian Kelly, which I'm very happy to see. So I don't expect that the Chip Long, I'm not going all in. I'm not saying we're getting 40 points in this game. He's got to show me, the Notre Dame offense has to show me that they can progressively move the ball. And that they got to be able to move the sticks, and I'm not sure we have the big play players. They're going to be able to, you know, get you 7 points from 75 yards away. I don't see that happening right now.
Yep.
So I'm going to go with more.
Well, hey, it's early, right?
Yeah, it's early. But I'm going with more of a 31-10 type of score.
Right.
I think the defense will be in position. We'll be in position. We're not going to be out-athleted in this one. Okay,
yeah, exactly.
So I think the points will be low.
Well, the good news is both of us think that this isn't going to be a game that we're going to eke out and survive with the win.
Let's hope not.
So let's hope not. I mean, that makes me feel good. Hey, Chris, thanks a lot for doing this. I mean, you were awesome. That was great input, and it was really nice of you to take the time to do this, knowing that I was in a jam and was going to be whiffing on the first game of the season.
Absolutely. Easy Eddie, get back here. We all miss you.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Nice job. All right, we're going to leave it there. You've been listening to Dome and Domer, an online conversation about Notre Dame sports from a fan's perspective. For Chris Travers, I'm Mike Brammer. Thanks for listening.